Hello, my name is Junie, and welcome to the Theta Game Podcast. I'm not a financial advisor, and nothing I say is financial advice. I'm just a normal retail trader, just like you. I'm not certified or a graduate of finance, just a trader that started on Wall Street Bets years ago. I've lost a lot of money and made all of it back and more after finding a system that worked for me. You can view all my trades for free at thetagang.com/Junie, no signup required, and email me any questions that I'll answer on the podcast at junie@thetagang.com. Lastly, I stream on Twitch every weekday at least an hour at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Come hang out, ask me questions, vent, or just chill. It's a positive environment, and everyone is welcome at twitch.tv/realthetagang. I've been using the TastyTrade trading platform since I started my ThetaGang journey 5 years ago, and it feels surreal that I've partnered with TastyTrade so I can focus on bringing you guys and girls the content. If you'd like to sign up and use TastyTrade for your trading journey, you can use my link in the show description or use the ThetaGang referral code, that's one word, all caps, when signing up. I use TastyTrade every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, where I chat and trade with viewers live every morning. Go again to twitch.tv/realthetagang if you're interested, join the chatter and morning hangout. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. All right. Today is October 31st, 2024. It's about 3:09 p.m. Pacific time, my time, and it's Halloween. You know, I don't really celebrate Halloween. I've celebrated Halloween actually a few times. I've gone with my cousin when I was like really, really young, and I've gone with my parents once. Oh, and then of course, duh. Yeah, and in high school, we used to go trick-or-treating like every year. That was like our thing. I imagine if I owned a house, I'd be pretty down to decorate a little bit. I wouldn't be like one of those crazy houses, but I would decorate a little bit and pass out candy. I think that'd be kind of cool. But speaking of Halloween, today was actually kind of spooky for some people. Someone in chat today in the Twitch chat said something along the lines of like that the market is getting us ready to send off October on this spooky Halloween. And it just made a lot of sense. Today was very red. And if you had a lot of like naked positions, you would have gotten a bit hurt today. The indices or the indexes were down today. QQQ down, let me see, 2.21%. SPY down almost 1.9%. Of course, I'm reading just the after hours pricing too, so this is just where it's like kind of settled by the end of the day. But this morning, it was just like skyfall. It was nuts. And then try and navigate through this like really weird time right now where all the earnings are happening at once. We're kind of getting mixed signals from different companies. For example, AMD did not do so hot this week. AMD went down double digits. Reddit gave us a positive signal for their growth, and just maybe the amount of people that are on social media, like Reddit, went up like 40% and still continuing to go up today. That's really nuts. Microsoft went down. Meta went down, aka Facebook went down. Apple just today went down, but Amazon and Intel are up. So we live in a timeline now that Intel is going up and AMD is going down. And you would think that would have like never happened. Granted, each one's track record, but you know, that's why the market is irrational at times. It's really tough to know where the market is going to go, right? Like, I wish I could just tell you that the market just generally goes up and for you to just fundamentally believe that and then trade like that will happen. Because especially like days to like today, for those that have taken advantage, which you should have, of this latter half of the year where the market seemed to really just only go up, very bullish strategies and bullish strategies as a whole did really well, right? Like when the market is hot, you want to put the gas pedal down to the metal. Well, I don't know why I said like that, but you want to put the pedal to the metal. And when the market is giving you mixed signals like it is right now or showing signs of reversal, you want to press on that pedal a little bit less. And when you do that, sometimes that involves taking a loss. Taking a loss is okay, right? There are some people that don't understand that you can be over-leveraged and you can get out with a good chunk of your money. Now, trying to micromanage your trades is a whole other topic, right? Like if you don't let your winners win, they might not be able to offset the losses that you would accrue if you're doing a low probability profit strategy like long calls or long puts, right? Like you need some home runs to be able to fund that sort of trading style because you're looking at like a 30% probability profit whenever you open one of those. But home runs aside, there's a difference between letting your winners win versus tunnel visioning, right? Like if you're doing everything that you can to do some external research or some trade analysis and you're determining like, okay, I only have a week left on this thing and I can get back probably like 30 or 40% of my trade's value. And if you don't think that you can beat the racing timer of this decay that's going to exponentially increase for the 5 days that are left, then maybe it's worth taking that off the table and just understanding that even if you did take that off the table and the price did go in the direction that you needed it to, that you're having some form of risk management. I think a lot of people during turbulent markets like these get very tunnel visioned, right? It's like traders are so emotional. We're either on one end of the spectrum or the other. We either get tunnel visioned into believing that this has to work, that this has to play out, I have to make money on this, and then doubling down even, or the entire other side where you get stopped out, you get scared, and you exit early. It's really tough to know what to do, and it only makes things worse when you're panicking or when you're scared or when you're mad. You know, like how many times have you opened a batch of calls or a batch of puts for it to just go the other way? You're like, oh man, dang, I should have known that I should have gone the other way. And then you sort of start to think, oh, you know what? I'm just going to get out. I'm just going to go all cash. I'm done. I'm just going to take a break. It's cool. I'm just going to take a break. It's all good. And while a mental health break is always good, I always advocate for mental health and taking a break, going all cash shouldn't be the first go-to response. You can... If you listen to this episode on a green day, it makes a lot of sense, okay? But if you're listening to this on a red day or after maybe your portfolio took a big hit, it's not gonna ring as well as it would if you had like a sober mind. Right now, like you might be feeling anguish, a little bit of pain, a little bit of fear, a little bit of anger. There's a lot of emotions that float around when you lose a large amount of money, right? It's hard to articulate those feelings sometimes, but for some reason, there's always that gut feeling that everyone has that, you know, after you take, you know, a sizable loss, you just want to go cash. You just want the bleeding to stop and you want to just like start over and you just have this need to just like stop the bleeding. In a lot of cases, this is probably a good idea. Okay, in a lot of cases, I'll explain some of the good cases right now. If you have really short dated options, and again, you are just feeling like you're on a violent train of just like a big, huge losses, and you're trying to stop yourself from like revenge trading, that sounds like a great idea to just like hit the reset button and go outside and touch some grass. Okay, I'm not saying that you like just by you staying in constitutes not going all cash. There's like a difference. Going all cash as like a first means of defense is not a good trading pattern. It means that there's fundamentally something wrong with your system. It means that your system is not growing adequately with the market. Meaning like you're gonna choose to have zero gains, which means you're gonna choose to lose to inflation off the get-go. Does it matter if you are losing to inflation, which is like at 2.something% for just a day? No, but you are building really bad habits though. You're positively reinforcing going all cash and timing the market. And that's my biggest gripe with it is when you go all cash, you are timing your exit. I mean, that's based on fear. and then you're going to be timing your entry back in, okay? And if you don't do any sort of self-reflection, trade reflection during that time, you're just going to set yourself up to do the exact same thing, because last time you stopped out for a loss, it felt good, and you're going to stop out for a loss or go all cash for a loss again. So you can see that this could be a violent and vicious loop if you don't remedy it. I talk about on the podcast pretty often that a lot of people don't reflect, right? There's a handful of people in this world that have never been like, you know, I was wrong there, or oops, I was wrong. I could have done better. This is how I'll do better. There are some people in this world where they, I'm not talking poop on anyone. Like, I'm just so serious. There are some people in this world that they don't have that voice in their head, and they never self-reflect. It's nuts. Just seeing that I self-reflect like all the time, it's like one of my favorite things to do. That's why I feel like I could be quiet for very long periods of time, because I'm just like talking by myself. It's kind of crazy. But there are people that don't learn well on their own. I think that's like a more politically correct way of saying it. It's like it's hard to reflect for a lot of people. Maybe it's because people think that they are too busy to make time for themselves to just think by themselves and learn and adapt. But maybe they blame it on work, or maybe they blame it on kids, relationship, or really just any of their stress in life, right? Like taking care of parents or anything of that sort. There are a lesser handful of people that trade stocks, okay? And then there's an even lesser handful of people, right? We're talking to a very specific minority group here that trade stocks and do not reflect. Okay, I'd say that most people that trade stocks that do it for fun, they don't reflect because they don't need to. They're doing it just like really just strictly for fun. And that's fine. But when you want to actually take this seriously, you have to know why you lost and why you got better. And that's why I built ThetaGang.com. And so I just wanted to bring this up as like the main sort of point for today's episode is, if you're thinking about going all cash, just be cognizant that you're really taking a decision where you have to make two really crazy timing decisions versus just staying in. Now, your trading style will determine whether or not going cash is actually bad, right? Like, I'm assuming that you have stock in your portfolio or some sort of stocks in your main strategy. If you are purely a options trader, there could be some case for going all cash. And I think that's more on the long side. So if you're playing like long puts, long calls, I think if it's not going in a direction that you are favoring and or you're just totally unsure, then yeah, I think not acting and then not doing anything is perfectly fine, because you don't want to be betting in a direction that you don't even know where you think it's going to go. It's when you have a good thesis of like, okay, I do think it might go up next week. I don't know what time frame you guys are trading on. Then maybe it's better to put save the money that you are sort of down on right now, go all cash, and then maybe enter next week. That seems okay. But say, for example, you have like a hybrid portfolio where you have stocks and options, and you know these like last few days have really paid a toll on your option plays, and then you start thinking, oh, should I close my option plays? Yeah, maybe, you know, maybe I don't have that much time left on them. And then you're like, oh man, you know, while I'm here, should I just close out all my stocks? And that's where it gets kind of like crazy, right? It's like, why are you trying to all of a sudden like Michael Burry this thing? Like, why are you trying to time the top? Like, why get out of positions that you felt so bullishly on before? We've had a great year. We can probably keep going up. That is definitely possible. But like, why all of a sudden are we trying to call the top and are we trying to go all cash? It's never made sense to me. I think, when I was, you know, trading before, I would say, honestly, since I started my ThetaGang journey, I've never really gone all cash. Like, that's a very, very weird move for me. Like, even in my earlier days of ThetaGang style trading, I do remember going all cash when I first started trading, and I see how many times that's been a mistake. And if I had just held stock of stock that I was scared on, I would have been totally fine. And this is dating back like 7 or 8 years ago. Like I started my trading journey like 5 or 6 years ago. We're talking about like plus two before that. And yeah, I would have been just fine. So that's just what's important, is just understanding when you're taking going all cash too far, right? Like there's always some minimum that people are okay with losing or holding on to. Maybe that's like a better word or better phrasing. Is say, for example, you started off with a portfolio of zero amount and you put in one whole dollar. That dollar loses like 20% overnight, you know, because the stock market went down 20% and it's a catastrophic day. You probably don't care about that dollar. Okay. So there is a minimum, okay, that some people care about. I'd say like even 20 bucks, you're not like sweating over. Unless if you're in like high school and this is your first trade, then you're probably not sweating over 20 bucks, especially 20 of today's dollars versus 20 of like before dollars. I'll just say that. So just remember that when you're thinking about like selling every single share you have, there is some minimum that you don't care about just keeping in. And I think that's your first step in just helping understand that like it's never a good idea to go all cash. Or maybe a better way to structure this or say this is there's never a good time to sell all of your stock. Maybe that's like a more accurate way. Maybe. I mean, even if you were doing long option plays, you have to be doing something to keep up with the market, like buying leaps or something where, you know, you wouldn't want to sell all of your leaps. You'd sell only some. So yeah, I'll keep it. I'll keep this title of the episode, whatever it ends up being. So yeah, going all cash, not very good, not very demure. It just takes too many things to go correctly for it to be optimal. Otherwise, just staying in is good. I do want to address something that I've said before, because I said that, you know, going all cash when you're doing only option plays and talking about like, oh, you know, if you think it's gonna go up next week, that it's a good thing to go all cash now and then just re-enter next week. I'm saying that it's good to take breaks and not to go on act every single play if that is your trading style. But that's not me agreeing that that trading style is good, okay? I'm just advocating for the fact that there are cases and times where going all cash is okay and it's normal for a particular type of strategy, because maybe you don't really have all that much cash to deploy anyway, or maybe you don't want to buy stock and you just want to purely do options trading. Then maybe that's okay. Do I personally think a long option strategy over, you know, the medium or long term is viable? Is it successful? I think it's all right. I think it's fun. I think it's better as a supplemental strategy. Like, consider just doing options on top of an already existing stock portfolio, so that the stock portfolio can keep up with the market. And then when you have that edge, meaning like, you know, say for example, you just bought SPY. Okay, and you're keeping up with the market. You are the market, right? SPY goes up, the market goes up. SPY goes down, market goes down. SPY is the market. You're just buying SPY. You're just buying SPY. You're building some equity there, some dollar cost averaging. That's pretty nice. And then, you know, you get this sense of that, like, hey, maybe the market is going to go up after the elections because everyone's going to go Christmas rally and elections volatility is gone. And you have this hunch. Right, then this is where you start adding calls on top of your SPY position. So not only are you keeping up with the market, but now you're guessing, but with like a huge hedge. You're now only supplementing with calls instead of depending on your calls to make your yearly profit, right? And then bonus points if you never get your SPY shares get called away and you never do covered calls, because then you get sort of taxed in the long-term gains tax rule instead of short-term gains tax. And that's always a nice bonus as well. So there's just a lot of reasons why You should not be just trading long options in the first place. Another one that I think why it might not be as good is there's not many people to follow. Like, there are plenty of people that look like they succeed, but no one transparent enough where I feel like I can actually just like vet them. And that's okay, right? Like, if you want to keep trading to yourself, especially if you are one of the successful ones, that's totally cool. But just understanding that a lot of people are looking for ways to learn on how to get better at the long side, it is really hard to find good examples of good traders. I think it's much easier to find good examples on the sell side, right? Like, I'm not even just talking about like me. I'm talking about like there's just a lot more people that are more willing to share their more transparent progress on the sell side than there are on the buy side, just because of how unsuccessful you can be on the buy side. And just with that notion alone, like, it's really, really just tough to learn, because learning through other people's mistakes on the sell side, you know, in the Discord, and just like with the people that I've been trading with for over the last few years, it's just invaluable, right? Like, there's just so many crazy things that I've learned over just this last year about like delta management, or just delta in general. Just quantity of contracts, types of trading, types of charts. It's just makes your life way easier when you are in a more transparent environment. It's hard to get that on the long side. When you join like a long side Discord with long calls and long puts and, you know, trade alerts, just trying to like call out things, it's every man for themselves. No one really shares like their progress, because no one wants to ruin the mood, and no one wants to like out the person that's like hosting this $5,000 a month service, right? Like, it's really tough. So just be aware, if you are only buying options, you are definitely on the alternative route for success. I would say that you're taking the hard route. It seems easy, because it seems like all you need to do is win a few and then you're like beating the market by a ton. But just know that there are better, I don't want to just assume that it's better. There are more predictable and more reliable ways to make the money that you are making just over a little bit longer period of time. I think what gets me really motivated to do sort of theta gang style trades is that it's really what's gotten me to the point where I'm very comfortable trading larger amounts of money. Right, like if you, for example, win really big on an options play, do you really think you have the risk management to manage this like new six-figure number that you've never had before, right? And that's why you see on Wall Street Bets all the time of this like graph that looks like, you know, oh, this person's up 100K and they lost like 120K. Like, we see those all the time on Wall Street Bets, and you're thinking like, how could that possibly happen? And it's because you haven't scaled up like your trading at all, right? Like, a home run is almost like a curse when you're on the long side, because you're just not going to know what a normal loss is going to feel like. And that's how his trades get just out of control. You know, your trades get bigger and bigger, and it's definitely in that like whole like gambling loop. But on the sell side, just building up that portfolio, doing longer dated options, and just really just letting the premium trickle in pending like, you know, a good market and it's not as scary, teaches you that like, hey, I don't need to rush things. I'm good. I'm saving up money. I'm dollar cost averaging into this. I'm going to be okay. And that has taught me that, hey, I can manage hundreds of thousands of dollars at a time. And I'm not going to like just like get off the whim and say like, oh, I'm going to put like $80,000 into calls, or like $120,000 into calls, because, you know, I can, and this is only like a third of my portfolio. That doesn't happen once you've been on the sell side long enough. But it's different strokes for different folks. Some people think it might be a little bit too slow. It might be a little bit too boring. Maybe a little bit more capital intensive, you know? Like, if you're going to do long options and you keep your position sizing small, that sounds fun. I don't know how you make meaningful income off of a 30% probability profit strategy with smaller plays. But, you know, I'm open to being proven wrong. But yeah, finding what works for you and what you like is a lot like anything in life. It feels so cool being able to draw so many parallels to trading. And I just think it's awesome. Like you see how someone trades. Like I'm confident that I can like blur the names of everyone in Discord and I'll know who's trading what, because we all have like our own like style. Like it's so obvious, like especially in our notes. I mean, everyone takes different styles of notes too. Some people don't even take notes, but I digress. Like there are just so many different ways that we either we open trades, we exit trades, we manage losers, the way that we write notes, how often we trade, what days we trade. There are so many different tells of like who we are and how we identify as a trader. If you feel like you don't have one, you probably should just try to, again, find one. Everything in life has already been done. There's no really real unique thing. Everything draws inspiration from something. So this is my little outro here is the good and best people in the world that trade do not go all cash. Straight up. Just no one goes all cash. No one. You want to be that unique snowflake that goes all cash that times the market by 20%? Go for it. But I'm telling you, even Michael Burry doesn't go all cash. Okay? So if you really think that you're better than people that have been doing this for decades, you should go all cash. Otherwise, at the very minimum, keep one share in. Keep two shares in. Oh, you don't care about five shares? Keep five shares in. You don't care about that you have 50 shares of this? Keep the 50 shares in. Sell your stock, exit your options on your own accord, off of your own rules, off your own analysis. But don't just like get fearful and just go all cash. That's not the way to do it, right? Like I'm not telling you stay in and ride till you die. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying manage your portfolio. Don't panic and just go all cash. No one does that except you. You little pick me boy or pick me girl, right? Like you think you're so special? No. It's just no one does it. And it's for a reason. It's really hard. You're making this one decision into two difficult decisions, and then what? You're going to end up sitting out on the next big rally and you say boo-hoo, right? That's how I think about it. So, and this is coming from someone that's down. Let me see. What's my profit loss on the day? It's something scary. It's $10,911.06 down for the day. That's a lot. I'm up $56,990.11 up for the year. I mean, today sucked. Today was absolutely scary, but, streaming in the morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time at twitch.tv/realthetagang. It helps a lot. I mean, we kind of just like band together. We kind of just complain that it's red a little bit, but I don't know. That kind of calms me down. Like, you know, I feel like for people that don't have trading communities, if you're just sitting and staring at this red, huge number on your own and you don't have someone to remind you that going all cash is sort of a bad move, you're going to go all cash because it's scary. I want this red number to stop becoming more red, and we get a little bit panicky. Your trading community defines you as a trader. If you trade by yourself, there's a good chance that you can become really good. I won't take away from the solo traders. But if you join the wrong trading group, kind of like the bad kids, the kids that your parents didn't want you to hang around with, you might develop bad habits, or even worse, you might not develop good habits, right? When you join a good community, you're going to feel like you can share your losses, talk about your losses, and ask like what could have gone better, and you could learn from other people that you can see progress of, right? This is a huge ad, by the way, for my trading Discord. You can go on patreon.com/thetagang. I do think it makes a huge difference. It does for me. The fact that I have like these daily updates that I do where I share my trading progress for the year, my trades for the day, all that stuff in my specific channel. I get like a moment every day where I could just talk about what went wrong and what went right, and just like my overall thoughts on the market. It just helps a bunch. I couldn't imagine doing this without a trading community, because quite frankly, I don't self-journal. That's like not a thing that I do. I might self-reflect, but I don't like type things out just for the sake of typing it out. So having and joining a community really gives me some positive reinforcement, because I know that it helps some people make their decisions too. So if you're interested in joining my trading community, you can go to patreon.com/datagang. And yeah, love to see you there. But otherwise, yeah, hoping for the best. I'm hoping there's some sort of Christmas rally. The elections are so soon. That's going to cause a little bit more volatility. Kind of excited for that too. You know, like the market going just up gets a little bit boring, you know, and it also gets kind of annoying when the people that shouldn't be winning win. You know, as much as I would love for everyone to keep winning, it just sets a really bad precedent for times like this, right? Like you win a lot, you shill everything, and then you think that you're on top of the world. People start copying you, and then that's like a net negative for everybody. I don't want that person to lose big, or the person that followed them to lose big, but that's just what happens. So if we're in a more healthy market where there's like a good amount ups, but more downs sporadically, so we don't go down like 3% in a day, that is preferred. I'd rather have like mini 0.5 drops or something. Of course, like the theta gang person wants that, because, you know, cash secured puts benefit from flat movement, and so do cover calls and all the other strategies that are the theta gang style. But yeah, looking forward to starting off November tomorrow on Friday, and hope to see everyone on the Twitch stream again at twitch.tv/realthetagang if you can make it. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye bye. From what just started out as just an idea, then learning how to trade options, then building a logging platform, then partnering with TazyTrade is so surreal to me. If you'd like to trade on TazyTrade, you can see the show description from my referral link, or use ThetaGang referral code, one word, all caps, when signing up to help me and support the website, podcast, and stream. This podcast, the website, and stream are all made possible because of my patrons at patreon.com/ThetaGang. Signing up helps keep the services up and alive, as well as pay my own personal bills. I do the podcast, website, and stream full-time as my primary source of income. I feel grateful to be able to do this full-time and focus on providing the best service possible for free. The podcast, website, and stream are all free, and it'll stay that way. Signing up for Patreon gives you a few perks, though, so check it out again at patreon.com/ThetaGang if you're interested in helping support. All right, want to give a shout out to my patrons here: Fancy Wolf, Los Pepes, Mods, Upstream Puddle, NSIS88, Jimmy Gill, Espresso Bean, ZKMSC, Joe Quirt, EDC, Travella, Desserts, Bachata Thug, Nala, J Perkins 86, Ben Z, T Wall 3252, LPL, Alexander Kerm, Slow Motion, Rustier, Steve Cassie, The Jester, Grandpa 95, Gruffalo, Young Rich, Chicken Dinner, Kaput, Kamikaze Paco, Coop, Sumatrix, Statistically Random, Turbo Ricky, Luca Badoers, Maestro XC, Banadushi, Theta Collector, Tyler LM97, Lord Skeletor, Major, Tecomi Elmo, Avrillian, R. Schmitty, Y-Teen, Danube 9000, McFly, Husk P, Mr. Integrity, Rooster, Big Dillo, Jindra, Minaru, Loido, Bearded Savage, Danghai, Clutch, Suede Slides, Arfman, Memement, MX7, Vegeta Plank, Can't Make Money, IRL, Handy, and Maltman 1856. Whew. Man, today's episode took a long time to record, like a lot longer than normal, because I would be doing these like 10-minute just like yap fests where I just kept on talking and getting deeper and deeper into a topic, and I was like, oh man, I'm getting off topic. So I'd just re-record it, and then it would happen again. Oh, dude, I can talk about trading forever, especially like if I really like you, I'll talk about trading with you. Like that's like, if you know me in real life, and I'm willing to talk about trades with you, it means I really, really like you. Like, it means that I trust you as a person not to be stupid, and it means that, like, I can just not, I feel like you're not using me for like stock information. Like, I feel very comfortable if I talk stocks with you. I don't know what I typically do. I try to just change the topic if someone that maybe that I don't like, but like, if someone that I'm not comfortable with, maybe that's a better way to say it, starts to talk to me about stocks, I'll kind of just like change the topic to like work or something. But stocks right now are, I think that they're pretty popular. I think people, at least website traffic wise, I don't know if that's like stocks being more popular in general, but like more, there are more people every month for this entire year on datagain.com. So that kind of growth is kind of insane for how long the site has been up. I think people, my guess is that people are sharing that the functionality of the tracker is free. That is my guess, because the visits to the tracker have also been going up. So that's a little bit insight. V5, or the new project under, just, I don't want to give away too much, but yeah, this new project that I'm working on that's going to be under the ThetaGain umbrella, is, it's a lot of work. I'm pretty sure I could finish it by the end of the year. That's what I'm trying to commit to. But I'll know for sure after like the second day I'm at my parents. I'm gonna know just how much I'm gonna be able to just be on my laptop and just be cramming away at code. Yeah, this new project is gonna be like the ThetaGain website, but like the professional version, essentially. I'm gonna keep ThetaGain.com for free, available for everyone that wants to continue using it. I'll continue maintaining it, fix any bugs, keep it up to date. But I'm really planning to have this next project be my like legacy. Like, my this would be my cornerstone, capstone project of just like all the tech stuff I've ever learned and making the most well-defined product that I can out of it. And I'm really excited. It's just a whole lot of work. It's a lot of work just doing a lot of the boilerplate. Like, for the nerds out there that know what a boilerplate is, like, dude, I forget how much work I've put into ThetaGain.com. And so this new one is just like, wow, I'm doing all this stuff over again. And there's a lot of cool tools now that sort of do it for you. But it's just not looking like how I like it, man. I like my code looking a certain way and stuff. So yeah, just it's taking some time, but it's fun. It's fun. I think you guys are gonna. I would say like this is mainly for the patrons, because you would have to be a patron to have access to this one. But yeah, it's gonna have a mobile app. I'm like 90% sure it will right now. Like, mobile app development is going pretty well, and it's pretty simple. So yeah, we'll see. In other news, jiu-jitsu is going fine. I feel like my knees have been getting thrashed. It's hard taking a break these days because there's a competition coming up. I have a competition in about 2 weeks. I gotta lose about like 10 pounds, which is honestly not that hard. I could lose like 6 pounds in one day just losing water weight. That's super easy. 3 pounds more after that is just regular diet. And like the last like 1 or 2 pounds at the very end is just really annoying. Like, I'm just like hungry and cranky all the time, but I could do it. So I gotta prepare for that. Release my YouTube video. If you're interested in watching my YouTube video, you could go to at Real Theta Gang on YouTube. You can watch my YouTube video there. There's a promotion now that if you sign up using the Tasty Trade referral link, I'll send you a Theta Gang shirt for free. You don't gotta pay shipping or anything. Just email me at junie@thetagang.com, your first and last name, and the t-shirt size and shipping address after you've signed up and funded your account. And if you qualify, I'll send you a shirt. No big deal. And yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, sorry for dragging on the 1% section. Usually I have like some sort of story to tell. Honestly, oh, I just thought of one. My bad. maybe I talked about it, or maybe I didn't. If I didn't talk about it, then I guess it's just even better. So I'm gonna roll the dice here. I'm gonna just bet that I haven't told you this. But let me know if I did. I'm actually curious. Last, maybe 2 weeks ago. So I feel like I would have mentioned it on the last podcast episode if I did mention it. But like 2 weeks ago, one of my jiu-jitsu friends, his name is Tony, and he asked me, how's it going? And I said, it's good. Everything's good. And then he asked, well, how are you? Or how are you doing? You know? And then I was like, wow. You know, thanks for asking me that. That was very genuine. I said something along the lines of like, I feel very thankful, very grateful, and I feel abundant. Like I felt so graceful when I said that, but somehow, some way I found the word abundant to describe how I was feeling. And I thought it was really cool of him to ask me like how I was really doing. I think there's a lot of male, wholesome memes about like, you know, they never ask, like, they always ask like, where are you going instead of how's it going or something like that. You know, we've all seen that meme from time to time. And I was actually asked, like 2 weeks ago, like actually, how are you? You know? And I was like, you know, I feel again, thankful, grateful. And I somehow thought of the word abundant. And I was like, man, that is really the perfect word. There'll be times where I'm like praying before I eat, or praying before something like bigger happens in my life. And when I do find the times to pray, my prayers are never asking for anything. You know, I tell the big man in the sky, like, I have everything I need. But you know, if you need me to go in a certain direction, you just let me know. You know, I hope you're doing well. And that's it. I don't necessarily ask him to like bless or keep healthy anybody. Like, I understand he's busy. He's taking care of everybody else. I just want to let him know that I'm thinking about him and that I'm grateful that I have everything that I have right now. This mentality shift and just feeling like I have everything that I need, I think came from my layoff. I think there was just so much tunnel visioning happening where I was just super sucked into just making as much money as possible. That I just wasn't healthy. And this was a very great reset. And even now, when I'm making like literally hundreds of thousands of dollars less than I was before, I feel abundant. And I still feel like giddy talking about this moment that I had with Tony, the one that asked me how I was doing, because it was just, that was how good that felt when I was able to really just like tell that to another person who really cared. So if you want to be Tony, if you want to ask your friend, how are you, you know, like, you as dudes, we kind of like just dap it up and like say, oh, what's up, how you been? And I was like, oh, I'm good. Sometimes it's okay to just be like, you know, when there's a quiet moment after you guys say what's up, it's just like, no, really, how have you been doing? And they're like, oh, you know, actually this is something, and whatever, you just get in that mode. But thankfully, you know, again, feeling grateful, thankful, and abundant. I'm still amazed at how abundant. That's a three syllable word I said. That's crazy. that's my little story for the end of this episode. Transferring the good vibes to you, tapping on my microphone here. Happy Friday for those listening to this on the next following day. Otherwise, happy Thursday to the ones that are listening to it on the few minutes that it gets released right now. Just to put into perspective of how long this episode took, right now it's 4:18. I got to get ready for jiu-jitsu. So I'll take, I got to upload this for, I got to go. Okay, bye.